Her core calling is still family and parenting, leadership, education, marriage, and womanhood. And she has got a thing for hot air balloons. You wonder who I'm speaking about? Hetty Brits is back in the country. Hello, Hetty. How you doing?
Hi, Janine. That was a surprise. I thought that was a secret. Who did you speak
I'm
to?
jealous. I'm jealous because it's expensive. Hey, you gotta save if you want to go on a hot air balloon. But yeah, I'm not even gonna ask you how it was. I know it must have been amazing.
But it was free. It was the result of a competition between our marketing person at our church and the pastor to see who can be the highest up when they do announcement videos. So she called in a favor, and we went up into the hot air balloon to film the announcements for this next Sunday service. So,
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
and she knew about my obsession with hot air balloons, so I was the lucky one to hold the camera.
Well, actually, I can't say anything. My whole family went to Israel for free. So I can you.
Thank you.
The hot air balloon. Okay, let's catch up with you. The kids, one's married. Oh, my word. I can't believe it. Let's catch up with the whole
Oh,
family. Who's doing what?
so another one got married in the meantime. So we have two married kids. So my daughter's been married for 4 years, and my son for just over a year.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter gave us a little grandbaby, was born in my basement with midwives. It was like Little House on the Prairie, I'll tell you. And it was wonderful just before Christmas. So she's almost, she's 4.5 months old, little Elora. And then our youngest, Simone, just graduated high school, as they say in the US. So she's seven, well, she'll be 18 in a less than a month. And all grown up, so the empty nest awaits in 2 months from now.
2 months, high shame. Oh, and Louis?
Louis is thriving because he has his South African band with him in the US at the moment, but his transition to the US was not as smooth as mine. He was, I think, a little bit more grounded and rooted in the South African soil than he thought he was. So he needs to come to South Africa at least once a year to get his mental health fix. And I get mine through watching birds from my back porch. I'm very happy in Northeast Tennessee. I love the nature. The four distinct seasons are beautiful, and I've made good friends. But like you said, we're still doing what we always did: worship and family ministry. So same ministry, different location.
So you went over, you already had a few books. It's on a book deal that you went over initially. So the writing down what it is that you want to impart with people, it has been worth it, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And life is supposed to be an adventure, and God can move us again if He chooses to. I'm really grateful for how my journey has turned out, and I'm very thankful for where I am now, and that I get to be back in South Africa now. It's wonderful for me.
But it's also a book launch tour. Which book?
It's the rewrite of the very first one. Because when I wrote Growing Kids with Character in 2006 and launched it in 2007, I had just had our third baby. So that was 17 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And the world has changed so much. And in December, Louis and I went away on a little anniversary getaway, as we do every single year. And he said, "You know, if I were you, what I would do in 2024 is I would rewrite Kwek Kinders met Karakter and go and relaunch it in South Africa." And I said, "Well, it's a good thing you're not me, because I'm not doing that." And he said, "Well, just do me a little favor. Just put a little thing on your Facebook saying, if I did that, would anybody be interested?" And we had 108 invitations to come and launch. And that's never ever happened to me, not even when I was full-time in South Africa with a promoter and an agent. So I knew God was doing something. So I got busy. And I rewrote it. So it is Kwek Kinders met Karakter 2.0.
Like it's Louis's fault and everything, but like what changed? What had to be updated?
Everything, Janine, everything, especially the tone of the book, because when I first wrote it, I had the arrogance of youth. And now I've been through three puberties, and I don't think it's that easy anymore. So I had to update it to not be so Maak net so, jy moet dit, because there was a lot of moots and moonies in the book. So it was the tone that needed updating, but also I learned a lot about personality types, about the combination types, but also about the new challenges facing parents today, because I still work with parents every single day in a culture that's really embattled in the US. And because I live in the Bible Belt, but the kids are obviously exposed to everything on the extreme liberal end as well. And I just know that the things I addressed in the book 17 years ago are no longer the main questions parents have.
Yeah, we have lots of discussions with our kids as well. And it's literally a different world. What I'm curious about is there really an answer to us that actually works? You see people as unique. That's the first point that you always communicate, is that every child is unique, but the challenges, it's not so unique, is it? They're all in the same boat. We can learn from one another.
Yes, you're right. And in that embracing of our uniqueness is a massive piece of resilience. And because ultimately, most of what's going on is an onslaught on identity. Who are you? And who are you supposed to be? And the culture comes to our kids and says, you should be like this and be like this and don't be like that and embrace this and be open to that. And if I don't know who I am, what my values are, what I will stand or fall by, then I'm just fodder for all of the propaganda and all of the influences. But if I, from an early age, have been taught there's nothing wrong with you that you're sensitive, or there's nothing wrong with you that you like to be in control, here's what it looks like to live out that design in a Christ-like manner. And here are the beautiful things you bring to the world because you're like that. Now let's work with it. Because if the culture talks to you and says, do this, and you want to say no to it, you have to stand on something. So then I can say, no, I'm not going to do that because I am a boxwood. And what I do is I defend right and wrong, and I make sure things are just. And I care about the details because I know correctness matters even to God. So no, I will not do that. Or no, I cannot do that for you because I'm a pine tree, and what I am is a peacemaker, and I will not continue your us and them narrative. I am here for the exact opposite. I am here to find common ground between people. Or, no, I cannot do that for you because I am a rosebush and I will lead people. So I will not go off track because I have the responsibility to make sure I move in the right direction because people will follow me. Or, no, I will not do that because I am a palm tree and I am an includer and I connect people and I invite them and I make the gospel and the kingdom attractive to others. So now I cannot denounce this person and denounce that person. I will not cancel people because I'm an includer. So ultimately, your child needs to be able to say, this is what I'm here for. And based on what I'm here for and what I represent, my little piece of the face of Jesus that I show to the world, based on that, I cannot do what you're asking me to do.
When you stand before parents and you bring them these kinds of truths, how do they receive it? Do people feel more condemned that they didn't understand their children and now it's too late? Or does it give them hope to go back to their children and do it intelligently and with more, compassion? How do people receive this?
I think it kind of depends on what personality type they are. Because if you're a boxwood and it's all about, oh, I hope I haven't made mistakes, initially your response is going to be, oh, no, just another thing I missed that I was supposed to know. So I try to be very careful in saying that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And if you lean on Him, He will remind you of the things that matter. You cannot do everything right. I actually end my talks with a piece where I say, you're fallible. And it's a little shout out to Brené Brown, but you're fallible but precious. You're worthy of love. You're invited to belong. You're designed for a purpose and destined for a glorious life. But that first phrase is really important. You are fallible but precious. And if I as a parent can understand that the instruction was never to get it all right. I was never meant to do everything right as a parent. It's impossible. It's arrogant if I think I did. It's just not the assignment. And the message to my child is, you're fallible too. You're not perfect. You're not that special. You are not everything to all people. That's the job of Jesus alone. There are many things you're terrible at. And And yet you are precious, worthy of love, invited to belong, and destined for a glorious life. So that embracing of, there are many things I need other people for. There are many things I need grace and forgiveness for, but I still belong here, is a very important message.
Also, the peace that there isn't something wrong with this child because he doesn't think like you do. That must also be a he with the sun sets free is free indeed kind of angle.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that the message of Jesus to us as people are, you are my church, you are my body, and you are different, and some are the hand and some are the mouth and some are the feet, and please get along and work together. And his main prayer was that we will be one, not that we will be all in one as an individual. And so for me, the message is so, it's so important that our kids know they're going to need others. And instead, the system is very much compete with others, stand out from among others, be better than others. And that's not really the Christian message. The message is collaborate, ach, ander hoor as yourself. The being mutually submitted to each other and in service to one another. So whatever gift or design God has given me helps me understand where I am supposed to serve.
I know you don't come to South Africa often, so maybe I can ask you from an American perspective at the moment. What do the parents feel like? Are they overwhelmed with the situation and with the culture and with the liberalism around them? Do they feel up to the challenge to still raise their kids in the ways of the Lord? Because it's becoming harder and harder. Sine le kans.
They are scared. They are afraid. It's as though they've lost their common sense and good instincts. They don't trust themselves to be able to do this anymore because they are bombarded with all of these. You need to understand your child's sensory profile. And I mean, I do that too. I talk about that as well. But it's you need to understand their brain profile and they're this and they're that and they're that. And the parents are just, oh, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to miss something crucial. So they're intimidated by the onslaught of information. Yes, they are scared of the liberal influences. But what they're underestimating is the fact that they still are the major influence in their children's lives. And when they shift the emphasis from, I need to control my children's behavior, to, I need to have a voice in my child's life by being in relationship with my child. You know, until they do that, they are losing the battle because you cannot control the environment. You cannot control what your kids are exposed to, not ultimately, not 100%. And you cannot control the choices they are going to make when they are exposed to these things. But what you can control is the way you engage with them, the way you love them, the way you earn the right to speak into their lives. Because our children don't mainly need us to tell them right and wrong all day long. They mainly need us to accompany them on this journey of life and be there for them and be a safe place where they can say, I'm struggling, or I made a mistake, or I'm confused. But often the reality is that that's the last person the kid will come to his mom and dad, because all they're going to tell me is, but you know, if you do that, you're going to go to hell. Why are we even talking about this? So when parents moralize instead of journey with their kids, a problem ensues. And that's what I see the most, because I literally work with families in crisis every single day. That's my day job. I'm employed as a family ministry coordinator at my church. So the crisis families come to me. And that's the pattern that I see. Parents who don't know that their most powerful tool in their toolbox is, I've known you all your life. I'm the person who gets up in the middle of the night for you when you're sick. I'm your go-to. That's something the world can never compete with. But parents don't realize that that is their secret weapon.
Do you encourage the parents to share with their children then these different profiles to have a discussion with them so that they're all on the same page?
Yeah, because I mean, that's why I put the personality characteristic checklist back into this edition of the book. In my mind's eye, I see the little kid sitting next to mom going, okay, let's see. This first little tree does this and this and then let's see if this is kind of what you think you do. Let's look through this. Which one do you think is the truest of you? And exploring who we are together. Okay, now let's do moms. So here it says this person hates mistakes and tries to learn from them. Do you think that's mom? No, mom, you don't care about mistakes. You just Stephen, I don't think you this tree. Let's see what the other tree does. Oh, here's a tree who needs to control everything, who does this or that. Oh, no, mom, that's not you either. You're very easygoing. Let's find mom. Maybe mom's a pine palm. And to really celebrate this uniqueness and make it an exciting thing, and instead of putting the emphasis on the label. Because really, to just be able to say what kind of a tree or tree combination another person is worth absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing. But I regard these assessments and the personality typing as getting your hands on that person's love manual. Because if I know, Janine, that you are, let's say, a palm rose, then I know, oh, I need to be a cheerleader for you. I need to be supportive of all the many 101 things you're going to do with high energy. I need to applaud loudly. It's not good enough to send you a text that says nice job. I need to like send chocolates, or I need to be on the side of the road when you come running, and I need to jump up and down and meet your energy and yell very loudly over all the other people in the audience so that you can hear your name being called out. If you're a boxwood, I should not do any of the above. None of the above will be a good idea. I should just send the text, I'm so proud of you for participating, and not make a hoo-ha on the side of the road when you come running by. So it's not about the label, it's about how do I love you? And when that becomes the emphasis, not, oh, okay, how do I do everything right so that you don't get harmed or destroyed, or I don't break your spirit? It shouldn't come from a place of fear, and it shouldn't be received in fear. It's a love manual.
Yeah, well, my kids loved doing the tests and seeing who they are. And it's so I've never met someone who doesn't want to evaluate themselves and then show other people, you see, I was supposed to be like this one. But at the end, it gives you permission to be yourself and to be fine with that. And then God can work from there. Listen, Etty, you're not going to stay in South Africa forever. By the way, how long are you still here?
I'm still here till the 23rd. That's when I fly back to the US. So my last stop will be Vriendal. And so I'm coming back to the Cape one more time right at the end of the tour because my flight leaves from Cape Town on the 24th.
Okay, but are you going all over the country or just big cities?
Oh, I'm going to little places like Bonnievale and Thabazimbi. And I know East London is not a little place, but they often get skipped over. So yeah, I still have a few things in the Cape left, and then heading to George and Mosselbaai, Oudtshoorn, and then I'll be going to Gauteng a little bit, and like I say, West London, and then all the way east to Nelspruit, stopping at Secunda and Delmas on the way. So quite a few. Still
Now
coming
we
up, 21 talks in 81 in 18 days. 21, yeah, talks in 18
Wow. Okay, well, we've got to give you your fill of South Africa before you go back because you can almost go without us for a long time. We'll see Louis in the meantime. Listen, Etty, people want to follow you when you're now safely back in Tennessee and all under some lack of kombashi there and you're going on with life. We still want to connect with you because you keep sharing on socials and everywhere as well. If people want to follow you, where do they go?
One of two Facebook pages. I just have the Hetty Brits Facebook page. And remember, my Brits is with a double TZ. So little uncommon. So hettybrits.com is my website, or then Hetty Brits on Facebook and Instagram. There's also a Hetty Brits author speaker page. If you don't want to see anything about my personal life, you just want the parenting and marriage news, then you go to Hetty Britt's author. Otherwise, my personal page is a fun space as well.
Okay, before you leave, love and leave us, I want to bless you with Psalm 139, 11 and 12, which says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. Because we know you love Jesus, But any kind of parenthood, any kind of relationship that you're talking about, there's so much that's under the water now, behind the eyes, that you don't know, and people don't share with you. But if you, as Hetty, can be someone who will see what God shows you, who will be open for Him to show you what is in darkness, so that light can be poured onto it, so that other people can see what hadn't been seen before as well. That the key to one person will always be the key to a whole family, and that you will never know the full effect and scope of the kingdom influence that you have in the work that you do. May you be so surprised when you get to heaven and realize some book had lain somewhere in the back of someone's cupboard, and by chance someone had picked it up, and another person had been reached that you never knew about. That it'll be a wonderful blessing to you when God shows you all of it when you stand before Him. We want to bless you with that in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you, Janine.